All right, here we go, man. Another episode.
Another episode. This is a fun topic. I feel like it's a bit of a spin on a classic. So I'm excited about this one.
So we did a show a while ago that was, the question was basically travel workouts, hotel workouts. We both lived out of suitcases for Lord knows how long and, you know, lessons learned for that. And it's kind of that same deal, but for food, for eating. You know, what do? You travel and you're in hotels, you're in restaurants, you're in airports. You don't have your fridge in your kitchen and you're not walking into a nice grocery store with your, you know, week's worth of food. It's rushed. How do you actually do that without just catapulting into chronic disease?
Yeah, well said. Oh, man. And
Can it be done?
It certainly can. I think you and I are both living proof of this. And I will say that I am far from perfect as far as my track record with this sort of thing. I have oscillated, you know, through years of being on the road where I have been really good and I've had a couple of principles that have worked out really well for me. And then I've gone the other way too, where I've totally conceded to, I'm going to be on the road, all bets are off. Let's just, you know, go with the flow, so to speak. And, you know, I think that there are lessons to be learned on both sides. And so I kind of want to start with the, hey, I'm just going to go with it. I've conceded that I'm on the road and the food's going to be terrible and I'm just going to eat what's in front of me. I want to talk about that a little bit first.
I'll say for my track record as well. Well, first of all, I'll say what I always forget, which is go to verynotrandom.com, check out all the cool cycles we offer, help support the show. And then number two, if you are a gym owner, any sort of gym that makes people fitter, BTWB has an all-in-one for you. Best in the world. You get workout tracking, gym management, and billing all in the same place. There'll be a link in the bio, but check it out. There's probably a little QR code in the bottom of the show that you can check out as well. But BTWB.com/all-in-one. That's what I was trying to remember. Now, for the traveling and the food, I traveled for many years when I was like a hardcore zone diet person. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't travel with a scale and measuring cups. I wasn't that level of lunacy, but you know, to as much at that point in time, my eyeball was like, I was hardcore into it, you know, and I was pretty good at eyeballing and I would try to the best of my ability to be as strict as humanly possible, even while traveling. And so I've gone everything from that to more where I am now, which is, I'm not weighing and measuring anything. I get a good sense that, you know, lean chicken breast is better for me than a bowl of Frosted Flakes. And I just try to make generally good decisions while being like kind of a normal human being. So I've done hardcore weigh and measure to now. And so I think we can chat about, again, I think I'm kind of similar to yourself. So go ahead and kick it off.
Yeah. So starting with the low road, so to speak, you're just going to go with whatever's there. If it's on the plate and it's served to you and it's available, you're going to eat it. I want to start with maybe why not to do that. And I think
Say, what's not fair is you can do that because I feel like you have the metabolism of like a ground squirrel that like is just burning calories constantly. I can't get away with that.
Pat, we're all blessed in different ways. And and I'll say that the double-edged sword to that is that I'm a chronically skinny, underweight individual that has a hard time moving the barbell. So, you know, there is that end of it. But, you know, we've all got our cross to bear, so to speak. But I will say, okay, so let's say you're going down this road and you're like, it's a short trip. I'm only going to be gone for 3 or 4 days and I'm just going to go nuts. The reason that, in my opinion, not to do that is less obvious than just, hey, you're going to be off the rails for a few days. To me, the hardest thing is that you can really quickly develop that attitude as a holdover to when you get back to your real life. And to me, that's the real danger is you have a couple days and it's just like, yep, I'm living large. It's feeling great. And then you get back and it can be tough to get back into the normal routine. And before
it bleeds over.
Correct. There's been weeks that have gone by and you're just undisciplined. And next thing you know, some bad things can start to happen in the long term. So that's the first thing, in my opinion, is to just understand, okay, why wouldn't I want to go down that road? And I'll also add that I think it matters why you're traveling. So if you're traveling for a vacation, you're traveling for a social function, let's say you're going to a wedding or, you know, a relative's, you know, celebration for something, I don't know. give yourself a little bit of leeway to be social in those circumstances. But if it is something a little bit more routine, it's a work trip, it's something that you're going to be doing on a regular basis, that's, I think, where it's more important to try to have habits that will hold you over, not only through that trip, but line you up and set you up for success for when you get back from that trip, that you don't feel like you have to take 3 steps forward to make up for the 2 steps backwards that you took while you were on the road. So that's the first thing, is, in my opinion, is identify why are you traveling and what would be the downside to going all in, so to speak, on not a great strategy. So,
you know, I'll say starting there as well, that maybe for me, there are some other reasons to not go all in. And this maybe is just my personality that maybe some people can relate to. When, if I awaken the little sugar demon in me, it's tough to bed it back down again. You know,
doesn't take much for him to grow.
It really doesn't. She starts to gain more real estate and more real estate. And so, like, you know, if you have a joyous meal of just whatever you want, that's cool. That leads to a couple meals. Well, now I'm really getting used to it. If it's a day of whatever I want, oh man, that was really great. Why not do it tomorrow? It's just one more day. And that can spiral fast if you have poor sugar discipline like I do. And the other thing that I would say for me personally is that I just don't feel good. Like, and it depends upon maybe, like you're saying, that trip as well. If I'm just going for a vacation with the family and I don't need to be that mentally sharp for any particular thing, we're just lounging around, okay, then maybe it's not that big of a deal. But if it is a work trip and I start to just get into that sugar fog all the time, feeling a bit lazy, feeling a bit tired, want to have another tasty treat and take a nap, and I just don't feel like on the razor's edge. I mean, you know, as we record this, we're approaching the third week of the Open. We're in the second week right now. And you and I just saw each other recently in Justin Medeiros's, you know, garage. Mm-hmm. And for 24.2. And I had to do, you know, the live broadcast there, which, you know, is, I know, just
a lot.
It looks like talking on camera, right? But like,
there's a lot of preparation that goes into
happening
that.
There. And if I just lived on nothing but like M&Ms while I was there, I mean, it would be this groggy, discombobulated, lost in nonsense sort of a thing. And I just can't let that happen. So even a work trip like that, the food that I put in my body, not only would I aesthetically like to look good and I'd like to perform well, but between the ears, man, I can tell the difference between the quality and the quantity of the food that I'm eating.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I'll extend that out to when you do get home, if you're in that rut of eating poorly, and that extends the rut of eating poorly at home, it all kind of cascades on itself. And, you know, at least in my experience, when I start feeling a little bit, you know, less good, I start feeling bad, it's harder and harder to get the motivation to then turn it around and eat well. You know, you kind of, all of these things compound on one another. So I agree completely. But let's turn the page a little bit and talk about, okay, so we've established, you know, you're going to be on the road and it's not going to be just a blowout. It's got to be something that keeps you on the rails. So I think my number one first strategy is to identify what can you bring with you that you like to eat, that's easy, it's packable, and it's good enough. You know, I think those types of things can be so helpful in a pinch. You know, maybe it's a pack of almonds, maybe it's, you go so far as you get, you know, some jerky you like, or some, you know, whatever it happens to be that's relatively nutritious and easy to pack, go overkill with that. Stock yourself up on those so that when you do find yourself in a pinch, because travel never goes the way that you expect it. Even when it's like good travel, there will be times where you are delayed. There will be times where you thought the schedule was going to be one thing and it ends up being something radically different. So overstock yourself ahead of time with things that you like that are part of your plan. Treat yourself that way. And that's going to really set you ahead with that one step. So that's my first step, is like, what can you bring with you? What can you pack? Don't be skimpy, throw it in the bag, have it ready.
I'll say what's interesting about that is, even in all my travels, I never really packed food ever. I would just try my best on site to make the best decisions possible, whether I was in a loose mood or a tight and strict mood. Like, I would just play the hand that I'm dealt and play it to the best of my ability. You know what? Now that I think about it, with one notable exception, I don't even know if they still make these things. I'm about to date myself. Remember Steve's Paleo Kits?
Yes. Absolutely.
Do they still make those?
I have to claim ignorance. I don't know. That's a great question.
But they were fantastic for... Yeah. Those are the one thing I would travel with every now and then. It could be like a four-block one where you have some sort of jerky and nuts and almonds and just like freeze-dried deal. And flavored a little bit that was, I thought they were tasty anyway. And so I could throw a few of those in my bag just in case the layover totally screwed you over or the flight got delayed. You didn't have to go to Arby's or you just whatever it was. Those were a lifesaver for a long time. And now that's got in my head, I think I might look those up again. But that was about the only thing that I ever traveled with. I didn't do any, and I didn't prep those. Like I didn't do any food prep and bring containers of food with me. I certainly knew plenty of people that did. But I would also, I scavenged recently, talking about 24.2, when 24.2 ended and it was time to like haul to the airport to try to get home, you know, on site there in Justin's garage, they were kind enough to have, you know, the media company had like some snacks and treats and everything set up there. And there's always a range of, you know, the little devilish sugar.
You can pick your poison.
to better stuff. And so I grabbed like some jerky and I think an apple and a banana and just like stuffed it into my backpack. And because I wasn't quite sure if the Boise airport was going to treat me well or treat me poorly. And then worst case scenario, I got some jerky, I got an apple, I've got a banana. And you know what? Mm-hmm. It's going to tide me over. It's going to be fine. And that was just a quick, easy snack. So I'll scavenge stuff like that on occasion, because the hunger in me, boss, like I love food. And if I get hungry, I'll talk myself into why making a wildly bad decision is perfectly good to go because, quote unquote, I deserve it.
That's exactly the point I was going to make when you said tide you over, is that these snacks are not meant to take the place of, okay, a sit down dinner or a full breakfast. It is there so that inevitably when you have longer time between meals than you might have anticipated, you can kind of keep that little voice satisfied just a little bit longer until you can get a better option in front of you instead of saying, you know what? There's a muffin at the ready. Let's just go to town.
Right.
So that's the strategy there. It's not a full meal replacement. It's enough to just say, okay, you know what? I can be good for another hour or two, or I can be good until, you know, dinner time or whatever. This inconvenience, it's not going to rattle me that much and I'm not going to go off the rails. That's what that's there for. So that, I'm glad that you brought that up.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the second thing, this kind of segues nicely, is understand the timing of where and when you're going to be places. And like I said, the caveat is, hey, it's going to change. So be ready for that. That's kind of the first step, right? Is to be ready for those gaps. But make sure that you do have a good understanding of, okay, what is the day going to look like? Is my flight going to be way earlier than my normal breakfast? Okay, so am I going to eat before I leave? Mm-hmm. You know, am I going to eat when I get there? What's the strategy there when you have these major disruptions in your normal rhythm? Think that through ahead of time and have a game plan. And it doesn't have to be so meticulous that, again, when it changes, your whole world comes crashing down. But if you have just enough sense of, all right, you know, this is going to happen and I've thought about it ahead of time, it's a lot easier to stick to the plan than trying to make it up on the fly.
100%.
So understand that. Like, what does that schedule look like?
You know, and then what's the longest? Have you ever played around with any fasting? What's the longest you've not eaten?
Oh, I mean, I have played around with a little bit of fasting, and I've done several like 36-hour fasts and things like that. And I'll tell you, Pat, I never have a problem not eating. It's just not a thing for me. And I think we've talked about this many times. You know, there's plenty of times, especially working big events, you know, the games and some of these semifinal events where you're just in the mix and then you look up and it's been 12, 14 hours since your last meal. And you know, that's just the rhythm of the day. That's never bothered me. But it is a great point. I think that's a good option in a pinch sometimes. And I would recommend most of the time that if what's available is terrible, opting out of that meal and just waiting for the next one is a completely valid strategy in the short term.
I can't speak for the whole world, but I don't think most Americans realize that not eating is actually an option.
It's okay to miss a meal once in a while. Yeah.
You know, the longest I've fasted when I was playing around with it, I did a true 3-day, 72-hour
fast.
And what was funny for me, even as much as I love food, if I could get through the first 12 hours of day one, it was actually like, it got easier.
Yeah.
Like then the cravings went away, but like day two is easier than day one and day three easier than day two, as odd as that is. And so point being that the toughest meal to make that choice on is the first one. And so if you are traveling, you're like, I guess I could just not eat for the next 6 hours. That's going to be the tough one, you know, quite frankly, because you're not used to that. So it is always an option. And also these days, you know, we talk about this, I think, a lot on the show in all different aspects, whether it's training or nutrition or recovery. Like there's a difference between ideal and just real every now and then. It's great if you can always make the ideal choice because that's what the world has presented you. Super. Why wouldn't you make that? But if you don't have the opportunity to make an ideal choice and you just have to play the hand that you're dealt, you can usually make a good, a mediocre, or a poor decision almost anywhere. I mean, every airport, every town, every whatever has Starbucks. Nobody wants to live out of a Starbucks and get all their food out of a Starbucks, but you can usually find bananas in the morning. There's hard boiled eggs. They have, you know, you can get just black coffee instead of like one of those drinks that has 700 calories in it. You can get a bottle of water, as shocking as that is. They have those egg bite things, and you can get egg bites that have like bacon and everything else. Or you get the egg whites that are like half the calories. Like you can make decision A or decision B almost anywhere. And to include, if you find yourself at a restaurant, you can either get, you know, the rack of ribs with the cheese fries, or there's probably somewhere on there a grilled chicken breast with some steamed vegetables that just doesn't call to you as much as the ribs do. Like you can make those decisions darn near anyway. You just have to have the discipline to pull the trigger on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is a nice, you're just setting me up here, Pat. This is great.
I do what I can.
Yeah. I think that that's a perfect transition into talking about, okay, now that we're in the place that we're traveling to and we have to make some decisions, is there kind of a hierarchy of decision-making there? And in my opinion, absolutely. And the way that I've always kind of framed this, when I am sitting at the restaurant and it's dinner time now and I'm with my coworkers or whoever, the first thing I'm going to look for is protein. That is my number one is, okay, what is on the menu that is protein heavy that I can get? That is my first go-to. And then the second go-to that kind of comes right behind that is the mantra that carbohydrates will happen.
And yes, they will.
And what I mean by that is I'm not here to say that, you know, carbs are the devil or that, you know, a low carb diet is the only approach to nutrition. Far from it. But what I am going to say is that anytime you're in a restaurant, they are working their best to make the food palatable to their customers. And often with that, there is a lot of hidden carbohydrate count in even a seemingly low carbohydrate meal. So for example, a salad that you get at a restaurant with the dressing often has a ton of sugar in it that you wouldn't find if you were at home or even with a comparable kind of off the shelf, you know, store-bought dressing.
Boy, it tastes so darn good.
Exactly, yeah. And so what I mean by that carbs will happen is that, all right, if I've established that where I can get my big protein, I know that there's going to be a ton of carbohydrates that come with that almost no matter what in a restaurant setting. So I do not want to go seeking out these more higher density carbohydrate sources. You know, I'm not going to try to get the bread and potatoes on the side with whatever that protein option happens to be. I'm going to opt for something a little more light. So those are kind of the two big ones that are always going through my head when I'm sitting at my destination and forced to, you know, make a choice on the menu. It's like, okay, where's the protein source? And carbs are going to happen, so let's not seek them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same deal. I'll start with the protein as well. And then if, you know, I do my best not to lie to the audience. You know, I'll also, depend upon where I'm traveling, in the strike zone, I've decided to give myself, if I might see a protein on the menu that looks delicious and somebody else is going to make it for me, and I probably wouldn't take the time to make it for myself at home, you know, the amazingly marinated ribeye steak and all this stuff, you know, which is, you know, not low in calories, but it's high in flavor. I know they're just sauteing that thing in butter and it's going to be incredible. And so I might, you know, opt for that, as a matter of fact. but I'll
absolutely
probably try to pair it with something that, you know, isn't quite as dense with calories, that the salad or whatnot, even though I know, like you said, it's certainly going to be hidden in there as well, but I probably won't get just a huge pile of, I don't even know what on the side of it. Like, I'll do my best to kind of like, tip the scales a little bit in my favor as well. And let's say, you know, like we said previously, if less I'm on the trip and I've decided this is a treat myself sort of a deal, but if I know that I could go out, I could have a steak like that and a salad on the side. And getting back to what I said earlier, I'll sleep well, I'll feel good, and I'll be mentally sharp. If I had that steak with like a basket of bread that they served at the table, asked them to bring a second basket of bread, and then said the sweet potato, one of the places we went in Boise, by the way, there was sweet potato fries. And if you, luckily the person like made this deal, like, do you just want the fries? I just want the fries. Like, what else would come with the sweet potato fries? Well, traditionally they come with melted marshmallows on them. And I was like, excuse me? And then on top of that, covered in brown sugar. I was like, holy cow. Yes. First of all, that sounds incredible, you know, but like, if you get that as the side, that's going to change the entire course of my evening, you know, like, So there's various things.
And possibly the next day, right?
And just the next day, just the steak with a salad, gonna feel great. And in all honesty, the steak and, hey, I'm craving some sweet potato fries and they're just plain sweet potato fries. Okay. All right. I feel a little heavy, but I'll get by with it. If I didn't know that that's how they came, they just brought them to me a la mode with the melted marshmallows and the brown sugar, I might have been tempted to eat those things. The entire course is, the whole next day is a wash. I'm going to be like a zombie walking around. So again, you can always make a variety of choices in any restaurant, in any menu, and even with any meal, depending upon what you plan to do with the sides, the toppings, holding some off, you know, getting other ones. What are you drinking? You know, are you having a glass of water or four beers? I mean, what's happening there as well? And so you've got a lot of dials to spin there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a couple things in there as well.
I did not get the marshmallows or the brown sugar, just, you know.
Well, I will say also that in situations like that, often when you're, at least a lot of the travel that we've done over the years, you do end up with a big group. You know, there's going to be things that are ordered that are out of your control.
Yep.
You know, the other thing that kind of runs through my head in those scenarios is that sharing is caring. And it can really take the pressure off. Like, let's say you're somewhere and it would be rude not to do that. And, you know, you have to have the basket of sweet potato fries with all this other stuff that traditionally, I can't believe there's a lot of tradition in that, but,
isn't it amazing?
But I get it. Yeah. That has to be a part of the meal for whatever reason. Okay, well, share it around. You know what I mean? Have one of those between three or four of you. And then you're not going to be tempted to just house the whole thing. And same goes with dessert. You know, oftentimes in big group settings like that, work settings, there can be, you know, dessert. People are feeling a little bit more indulgent. Fine. Sharing is caring. Get one, split it amongst a couple people. Have a bite or two, satisfy that sweet tooth and move on.
Yep. Agreed. And I will say, if somebody gets stuff for the table, like we're going to order a bunch of sides, we're going to order a bunch of mains, this is family style kind of a thing, that occurs every now and then. But if it's individually up to me, even though as much as I do love a tasty treat, I almost never order dessert on the road, like almost never, you know, it's a very, very rare occasion. And I can't speak for you, this is a little bit off topic, but somewhat on topic. When I return from a trip, like a work trip, 2 or 3 day work trip, if I was good the whole work trip, for some reason, when I get home, I have this ravenous desire to like consume something poor. I don't know what it is. Like a little treat for being good. It's just weird.
Yeah,
it's food and psychology. Like, who knows? But yeah, I'm always battling the food demons, man, one way, shape or form. But
yeah,
what's your traditional breakfast on the road? If you are, you know, hotel breakfast, or you find yourself in a diner with the crew.
Yeah, it's pretty straight up. It's usually, you know, some sort of egg dish, whether that's scrambled eggs or eggs, you know, over medium, something like that. And then substitute the fruit for the other sides. You know, I'm not going to lie, I do enjoy a hash brown once in a while. But that's an easy go-to is some eggs and fruit on the side. Hey, you know, if you're feeling indulgent, maybe a side of bacon. But that's an easy go-to. Breakfast, I feel like, is the easy one.
Agreed. And, yep, super easy. And dinner, I don't feel like it's that challenging because, like I said, most restaurants, if you look at the whole menu, you can find a decent choice. It might just be lunch, which is a little sticky because maybe depending upon, you know, whether you're still on site, you get a work meeting with your peers, there's just some takeout that's happening. It's going to be a bit of a rush lunch. You know, that might be the meal of the day that is the most difficult one for you to make a decent decision at. And then also might be the one if it's a short trip, you know, you make the best decision you can, or you decide, you know, you pass on lunch and you go out and you enjoy dinner. It's totally up to you, but I think it's certainly possible. I don't think you need to be perfect. Again, if you just make a series of good decisions, not a series of perfect decisions, a series of good decisions will get you a really long way. A series of bad decisions will put you in the dumpster. A series of good decisions, you're going to be okay, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's part of it. And look, like we started this episode with, I think there's something to be said for balance. You know, like you don't need to be militantly, I'm just going to eat the fruit and veggies and, you know, the lean protein, that's it. Or, you know, everything's going to fall apart. And nor do you have to be the opposite way where it's like, well, I'm on the road and all bets are off. There is plenty of room there. And I'll take it way back, actually, to a piece of advice that I got from Barry Sears, of all people, from the creator of The Zone. Yeah. We went out to The Zone Labs in like 2008. And toured his facility and heard him, you know, speak to us about his thoughts on nutrition and his philosophy. And it really stuck with me. One of the things that he said over and over and over again, and I'll give a little more context, you know, it was really great actually hearing it from him. He's not dealing with athletes. He's not dealing with people that have a real good grip on their health. He's talking about the average person that doesn't necessarily have, you know, a lot invested in this. How do you help that person? That's kind of his focus. And one of the things that he talked about all the time was that you're only one meal away from making a better decision. And you just can't look backwards. So, okay, breakfast was a mess. You went off the rails. You had the big Starbucks, you know, mega sugar, whatever. Hey, put it in the rear view and make a better choice at lunch and you're right back on track. And that was something I thought that was so powerful and a real good lesson for anybody, no matter their circumstance, but particularly when you're on the road. Hey, you had a bad dinner. It was a little off the rails. Everybody's getting to dinner. Maybe you had dessert and then a drink or two afterwards. You woke up feeling a little bit rough. Well, guess what? Breakfast can be right back in the zone, so to speak.
Yep.
And you can start that day fresh. So don't
love that.
Yeah. Don't lose sight of the power of that next best decision.
And I would say to piggyback onto that, that plus workouts, and I think would serve you really well. You're
the
one meal away
button.
One meal away from getting right back on track. You're one workout away from getting right back on track. Life got crazy. You've missed 7 days of training. You feel like just a greasy turd. You're one workout from getting the great image set, from getting right back on track in one meal as well. So you are good to go. Well,
yep.
Hopefully that helps people make some good decisions and be, you know, quasi-sane human being that can go out on planet Earth around other human beings that may not have your nutritional goals and make some decent decisions so that you feel good, look good, perform good, all that kind of good stuff. So appreciate the question. As we always say, this is everybody else's show. It's not my show or Adrian's show. So we want to hear from you. What did you think about this topic? Go to the BTWB YouTube channel. Find the show, post your thoughts or comments. Do you have an idea for a future show? Post it on the YouTube video as well, or go on Instagram to the Very Not Random Instagram page. Send a direct message if you want, if you don't want to, you know, be public about whatever it is you're saying, or you can leave a comment under the most recent post. We see all that kind of traffic and it helps drive the show. So for Adrian Bosman, I'm Pat Sherwood, and we will see you next time.